welcome to the 10K Collective, my friends. Now, look, if you're listening for hacks and short-term tactics, I'm afraid you are in the wrong place. Let me tell you about the 10K Collective Mastermind. First of all, its members meet in person. They know each other well. They all make over $500,000 a year. Several make several million a year. Many have doubled their revenue over the last 18 months. If you're that kind of person, then this podcast is made for you. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 10K Collective Podcast, the place for six, seven, and eight figure e-commerce sellers. And we are talking today with Alison from Alison Walker from Mint Accounting, and they're online accounting specialists, and they have a number of Amazon seller clients. So they're becoming really, I would say, Amazon specialists as well. So we talked in our first episode about a lot of things that apply to pretty much any kind of business. Today, we're going to talk about Amazon specific issues and solutions. So this is for anyone who's selling on Amazon, mostly for those based in the UK, but Alison also works with people who are based in Canada and America, amongst other places, who are registered for VAT in UK. So it's going to be quite a broad set of people this is relevant for. So the first question I'm going to get into is that famous one that comes up all the time with UK-based people, which is that they have started off their Amazon selling journey, if you like, with a sole trader account, i.e. it's just them in their name, and now they want to swap their Amazon accounts, quotes and quotes, between the sole trader and limited company, which ends up getting pretty complicated sometimes and sometimes just can't be done. So tell us from your accounting perspective how people can navigate that. Well, first of all, what are the classic mistakes that people are making there?
Yeah, I think that it's a common it happens a lot. It's a common occurrence, this one. Amazon's quite slow at updating their records for new VAT numbers, and that delay in between times can cause a whole heap of issues for a business. So in the UK, you can move from a sole trader to a limited company in a couple of different ways. So you can just do a direct incorporation. So you might, on that one, you might retain your VAT number. So that's a simpler way of doing it, and there's really very little in the way of tax advantage otherwise of doing that. You're just rolling your sole trade into your limited company. However, it's often quite tax efficient and can be a tax benefit to people if they sell their sole trade to a limited company. So it's a different way of doing it. And then what you have is you've got to have a new VAT number in the limited company. And when there's the old VAT number and the new VAT number, you can end up in a bit of a pickle where you're operating your sole trade and your limited company in parallel to each other while you're waiting on Amazon updating their records to show the new limited company name and the new VAT number. So it's just start as a limited company, I think, is, you know, would be my advice from the beginning. If you just start as a limited company, get your VAT number initially and set it up like that, it's much easier. It just stops all these problems that you can get.
Simple is best, right? I mean, and yeah, you have to become a sort of ninja, and your accountant needs to know exactly what's going on with Amazon. Absolutely. Which, by the way, who knows what's going on with Amazon? The guys who work there certainly don't a lot of the time, the ones you can get on the phone, because they're minimum wage and that they're a sort of barrier between you and the teams who really do know what's going on. And first of all, the time lag, we're talking 6 months quite often, which is a hugely long time to have uncertainty. It's messy, and occasionally people just find they cannot do it at all for whatever reason. Some people find it goes through really quickly. There's that random Amazon variability thing, which we all experience. So if you just set up as a limited company, and I can't stress enough, the level of stress, just this is from an amateur point of view, not an accounting point of view, that as the business owner, the level of stress that I've seen people go through trying to swap over a limited company to sole trader to limited company, sorry, when they've got lots and lots of revenue at stake, tens, twenties, $50,000 worth of revenue going through the accounts, or pounds in this case, versus the cost of like under £20 and about an hour of your time to set up a limited company. And all the only difference really is you've got to get a corporate tax return done and the company's SaaS return, but you've going to have to do tax anyway. Honestly, there's hardly any contest at all in my view. So, yeah. But it is, I think you've flagged up an important difference, because I didn't know that you could sort of roll your sole trade up into limited company versus setting a new one up. And that, I presume that's where the difference comes from. Is that what your experience is as well?
Yeah, it is definitely. And there can be benefits of selling. You know, if you've got an established sole trade and you sell it to your limited company, you can have other tax benefits of doing it like that. But the headache that you have with this parallel running of sole trade and the limited company, the time that you're waiting for Amazon to update the records, so that they're recording your credit VAT number, it just isn't worth it. It's just,
no. Assuming somebody is in that unfortunate position, and a lot of people are, I've got a client right now who's going through that. If you're running the two in parallel, I understand from you, our conversation, you're going to have two sets of accounting. Is that correct? Even though you've got one Amazon account?
Yeah, that's right. So because you're running a sole trade, which is an entirely separate legal entity to a limited company. So you're accounting under your sole trade, and you're reporting to HMRC under your sole trade is entirely different to what you do for a limited company, which is report to Companies House and HMRC. So you end up running two sets of accounts. And the overlap can be, 6 months, which is, it's extra cost for the business as well. I'm sure the money could be better spent on other things.
Yeah, it's a bit tragic. You form a limited company and then you spend 6 months running accounts, even though you're not trading.
That's
a bit tragic. So, okay, well, we've dealt with that one pretty thoroughly. But again, just the final takeaway is, like, if you're about to start this thing, for goodness sake, just form a limited company. And if it doesn't work, you just dissolve the company. It's not a biggie. But, people make too big a deal in their mind of limited companies and too little of the pain of transitioning between the two, I think. Okay, now another classic, more general error. I suppose this is true it's true for all accounting ever for any businesses, particularly Amazon though, creates a huge amount of data and we get a large number of numbers. There's a great deal of complexity. So what are your solutions for making that sort of human absorbable by business owners?
So I think the real key here is to get the right software in place. The amount of data, if you've got a high volume business and you're selling lots and lots of items, then the data that you get from your Amazon reports on Seller Central is massive. It's really good information, getting that information into Xero or into your accounting software can be tricky to do. And the product we use is Link My Books. I think we talked about it a wee bit in the first episode, but Link My Books just takes the pain away from all of that. So it takes all of this massive data that you have from Amazon, simplifies it, and then posts that into Xero directly. And gets it right, gets the VAT rates correct, make sure that whether it's whatever level of Amazon fees that you have or whatever types of Amazon fees, it will separate all of those out and make sure that they get posted correctly in Xero. So it's well worth the time to set that up with Xero or with QuickBooks, get all the VAT rates correct, and then let it run. It's just a really nice piece of software.
Yeah, and as we've mentioned before, I know Dan and Pete quite well. I know that they were serious Amazon sellers, that they sold businesses, and they're both clear thinkers, very, very clear. So I think that yeah, it doesn't surprise me that their book, Link My Books, rather, works very well. So definitely people you can trust, I think, from that point of view. Okay, so let's talk about, you mentioned Xero, and whether it's QuickBooks or Xero, one massive thing is setting up what they call a chart of accounts. Now, I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. I found that trying to do it on my own was a nightmare, and that working with my accountant to do it was the only way I could possibly make sense of it. Is that what you advise people as well?
Yeah, definitely. And again, I think that so part of it is going to be driven by what your accountant needs from a statutory point of view and how they report to Companies House. But what you need to run your business is equally as important. And I think just sitting down together and agreeing how that chart of accounts is going to look means that the data that you have on a day-to-day basis from Xero or QuickBooks is going to make far more sense to you. And the types of things, the types of things that we would look at are, so if you have a vehicle in your business, then you might have fuel costs going through your profit and loss account, you might have repair costs, vehicle tax, insurances. And as an accountant, I like to see those all in separate lines. I want to know, you know, what goes into fuel costs, what you're spending on car repairs, etc. But as a business owner, you might just want to see what the total costs of running those vehicles are. So having those bulked together on your profit and loss account is far easier than for you when you're going in on a day-to-day basis or month-to-month basis and actually looking at your profit and loss account. You can see the total costs of your vehicles. And certainly with Xero, you know, you can drop that down and look at all the detail of it as you want, but it's quite nice to not have a 40-line profit and loss account and just have, you know, half a dozen lines that make some sense to you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and that's Amazon can very easily, once I remember I used to use A2X for my American accounts and Xero, and it would just, you have end up with about 50 or 60 lines of expenses. I mean, for starters, it's eye-opening just how much money Amazon, well, how many ways Amazon takes money off you. It's a lot more than you'd expect when you break it down, like a hell of a lot more than you'd want as well. But also, that's just not a very user-friendly. It's a bit like if I were driving and having to look at literally 60 dials on my dashboard, like a sort of pilot in the 1920s or something, I'd be very likely to crash because either I'd miss something crucial on one of the dashboard dials or I wouldn't be looking out the window. And actually, there is a danger of looking too internally your business and spending your life, you know, trying to make sense of the accounts or, for that matter, internal communications or something, and missing the fact that your competitor has just brought out a product that's pretty much the same as yours and it's $5 cheaper. So I do think that idea of having the dashboard where you can quickly assimilate the vital information and just be aware of trends, as we talked about before, is really important. So what you just put your finger on there, I think, is mission critical, that the accountant needs things very granular detail and you as the business owner need things in chunks. And I think having that accurate link between the two is my experience really, really important. Let's talk about cash and VAT, because obviously when you first start, let's talk about that awkward place where you first get VAT registered. How does that sort of link with your accounting setup?
Yeah, so I think you know, just there's so many errors that can happen when you're starting up. You need to understand what the VAT elements of all your purchases, all your sales actually are. And you want to agree that and make sure that it's set up properly within your accounting software. So again, you know, using Link My Books, using Xero, using QuickBooks, you know, actually sort of getting down to that level where you can have the VAT rates set correctly at the beginning. If you get it wrong, it's a, you know, it's just a bit of a nightmare going back and correcting all of those. I think just knowing as well, like understanding, if you're processing yourself at the beginning, when you're starting up in business, often you know, accountants aren't cheap generally. You know, it costs you money to hire an accountant to do this for you. And I think a lot of times we see new businesses try and start doing everything themselves. And if you're, you know, if you're switched on and you've researched it and, you know, you've got a good handle on it, then go for it. But there's just loads of mistakes like that we see. You know, we then take on a business who's maybe 6 months into trading, look at what they've put through zero, and it's we would be better starting from scratch and redoing the whole thing for them. So, you know, it's a bit of a false economy at times. You know, we have things like you might purchase a laptop, and you've posted that. You might think that that counts as a software cost, and then it's posted into your profit and loss account. But for us, you know, as an accountant, a laptop's an asset, so it needs posted in a different way to what you might think that cost would be posted at, and we need to apply depreciation and make sure the depreciation is recorded properly and consistently and posted through to your profit and loss account. So you need to know what you're doing with these things and get it right from the beginning. And sometimes, even if you do a setup with an accountant, and you know, we'll often do 3 months of processing or 6 months of processing for a client, so that we set everything up properly. We get bankrolls set up for them. We make sure all the VAT rates are correct. You know, we do as much of the fundamental work as we possibly can, and then after that, you know, go for it. Like, get a bookkeeper, do it yourself in terms of the processing. That works far better than doing it yourself at the beginning. You know, take a wee bit of time, invest a bit, get everything set up from scratch.
Absolutely. I mean, I just think it's a bit like, if you're going to spend a lot of money on private labelling and going in without training, I mean, most people I know who've done really well at this are very, very savvy people. So they didn't do well because of training, but they were smart enough to take some training. And, you know, people spend a healthy amount on Amazon training courses, sometimes excessive, like $3,000 or something. Even if you're only going to spend a few hundred bucks on that, or a bit less, that's one part of the equation. But then I think working with an accountant to set things up correctly is just as important. I think it's not an optional extra, because it's just going to be such a mess. Having done both myself and having seen my accountant, my clients do it. Because you will have to sort the mess out at some point within your first year of trading. And if you don't think it's going to work, then save up, or don't do the thing, but don't do it without an accountant setting it up for you. As you said, again, it's about the setup. Once you've got things set up correctly, so you've got Xero, you've got Link My Book set up correctly, you've got an accountant who set up the chart of accounts correctly, then you can just get on with it yourself and save the money. And I do think that, yeah, it's totally false economy. Having had that mentality myself to start with, at least I was smart enough to start a limited company, which saved me a lot of grief, but I wasn't smart enough to do much except to use an accountant at the beginning to set up my chart of accounts. What I should have done is use a professional bookkeeper as well, I think, but that's pretty cheap. So tell us a little bit more, some classic errors that people tend to make. You talked to me about purchase invoices. So obviously, there's a lot of those around. They're pretty big. They're a big percentage of our direct costs. So we've got to deal with them well.
Yeah.
So what are the classic errors with that one?
Yes, so again, like, what we'll often see is when you're doing your own bookkeeping or processing, so what you might have is you've processed a purchase invoice into Xero. So you've recorded it, the supplier, the costs that they've charged you, etc., and you've done all that really well. It's sitting there, it's in Xero. Then you make the payment to that supplier, and you're making it through the bank account. And what happens then is you've made the payment to the supplier, but you record it again as, well, in Xero it's called a spend money. So you record it as spending money. And that means that you've got a purchase invoice as a cost, and then a spend money as a cost. So you're doubling up the costs that have gone through your Xero account, whereas what you're supposed to do is match the spend out of the bank with the purchase invoice. And it's just, you know, it's a It's easy to do. It's an easy mistake to make, but it happens consistently. And you just have to understand how all of that part of it works. You know, unpicking it, it takes time. You know, it takes a bit of time and effort to unpick all of that. And there are solutions out there as well. You know, there are solutions. You know, we use Receipt Bank just now for purchase invoice processing. So you can actually scan or email in your purchase invoice directly into Xero. And it'll do it so that you can then easily match off what you've spent in the bank against that purchase invoice. So Receipt Bank's another really great bit of software to integrate. Xero have brought out, have purchased a company called HubDoc, which I think is also looking to do something similar to Receipt Bank, but just now we're still using Receipt Bank at this point. So that's one that's well worth having a look at and, you know, using as well. It just simplifies everything.
Yeah, I was talking to an accountant the other day who basically they're sort of Xero specialists, and she was also saying that they give their clients a free Receipt Bank subscription as part of their service because they find it's just better than the sort of native in-house thing at Xero. So that's interesting to hear another endorsement for Receipt Bank as well. Yeah. The other thing that I know is good is the bank rules side on Xero or QuickBooks, because obviously if you have a lot of things that are repeated frequently in the same way, that sounds like a great job for software. So how do you use the bank rules?
Yeah, so again, bank rules, you know, one of my favourite features of Xero, to be honest with you. I think bank rules are great. So they work really well for regular routine, your routine payments. So might be for your phone and broadband costs for your office or your rent for your office, you know, these types of things that happen month in and month out, then you can set up a rule that means that the posting within your accounts will be done properly and correctly every time you make that payment out of the bank. So when you pay rent, you don't have to go and check, or your accountant doesn't have to go and check whether that rent has VAT on it or not, because you set it up within the rule as to whether it has VAT or not. You you see which account you want that posted to. And so you never have to go back and double check, or should this be office rent, or should I be putting it into, I don't know, something else, some other bank account, other nominal account. So it just allows you to have real consistency and accuracy again, and speeds up your processing. Really worth the time to set them up.
Excellent. Well, that's a great feature of Xero and QuickBooks these days. So once we've done all the work then, and Daniel, do you edit this bit out as well? So once we've done all the work and we've got things set up and it's working correctly and our bookkeepers are working correctly, or we're doing it ourselves in a way that makes sense, what are the specific KPIs that are important in the sort of Amazon world that we need to keep an eye on? You talked about trends, things like the quick ratio or things like that in accounting generally. What are we looking for out of our accounting software as Amazon sellers that we need to keep an eye on?
Okay. So there are heaps of different KPIs that you can look at. But I think for me, there's gross profit margin's the classic one to start with. You know, looking at that margin, getting down to the level of looking at it on a product grouping basis or product basis if necessary. There's a facility in Xero as well that allows you to track, so tracking mechanism in Xero. So it can be that you have different product groups tracked separately from each other. So if you're selling rugs and you're selling cushions, then you can have that data analysed separately within Xero, and you can look at the margins of those product groupings separately on Xero. So gross profit margin is just one that you should know. You should know on a day-to-day basis, a month-to-month basis, how you're performing. And you should always be looking at ways of increasing and improving your gross profit margin. Obviously, net profit margin, that's after you've allowed for all your overhead costs, all your fixed costs of the business, and you want to keep an eye on that. Looking at your quick ratio, we talked about last time, in terms of just how much of your readily available assets, your cash and your receivables, is there to cover the liabilities of the business. Current ratio is quite good as well. That's using the same sort of information as the quick ratio, but it's picking up stock within your current assets this time. So it's looking at cash, stock, amounts that are owed to you, and how well that covers your current liabilities. And other ones, like stock days or inventory days, that's another one to look at as well. So looking at what your stock value is, and you divide that out by your cost of goods, or by the purchases in your cost of goods, and you multiply that by the number of days in the period. And again, you're just looking at how quickly your stock is turning over for you. So again, these are ones that if you were looking at it on a monthly reporting type of view, then you would want these half a dozen KPIs sitting there that you can see again on a month-by-month basis, that you can look at the trends, you can look at how you're performing over a period of time. Because it's looking at the data over a period gives you a far more in-depth understanding of how your business is performing and whether you're on an improving trend or a declining trend. And, you know, it's these trends that then start to tell you when you need to take action pretty quickly.
Excellent. Yeah, again, that's another theme that's emerged from this and the last podcast, is the thing of trends and looking for where things are going. One quick question around the current ratio. We mentioned the quick ratio. So the current ratio is, can you just define that for us again? So it's the cash plus stock plus receivables divided by the current liabilities? Okay, yeah. And why is that important to monitor as a separate thing compared to the quick ratio then?
Yeah, so this one, you know, is looking at, I always look at it to see how viable a company is or a business is. When I look at a balance sheet, it's the first thing I'll quickly do on a balance sheet is look at the current ratio. Because what it tells me is, if this company was to close the doors tomorrow and stop trading, then would it have enough in the way of its cash, the amounts owed to it, and, you know, assuming it can sell all its stock, would it have enough receipts from all of that to cover all of the liabilities that it currently has? So it's a fairly easy, quick to pull out of your balance sheet. You know, the data is all summed up in that way. You know, your current assets, your bank, and your current liabilities are summed up on your balance sheet anyway. So it's a really fast one to look at. It's just a real indicator of a company's viability at that point in time.
Yeah, thank you. That's good to have a reference to the balance sheet as something to understand over time with your accountant. I think it sounds like it's an important document. The one thing to mention, because we talked a lot about Xero, and obviously a lot of people do use Xero, you've got a free cheat sheet. I know you got 10 tips for Amazon sellers using Xero, and we're going to put that at amazingfba.com/mint, M for mother, INT. You can get that in exchange for your email address in the usual manner. But I think that's going to be a very useful document for anyone who's using Xero. Presumably a lot of the stuff would apply to QuickBooks users as well.
Yeah, it will do. It'll just, you know, very similar. I am a Xero fan, so if I'm honest. So yes, but you know, they're very similar products. So I would say the bulk of what's on there will apply for QuickBooks users as well.
Great. Okay. We ought to give you a chance to just tell us quickly what your services are that you offer to Amazon sellers specifically.
Yeah, no problem. So we've got really two standard packages that we offer for Amazon sellers. We can do an accounting only support, and that's, you know, all your statutory work is done. We give you a starter license with Xero, a Like My Books license, Receipt Bank license as part of that, and we do your statutory accounts, corporation tax, quarterly VAT returns, and payroll for two employees. And we fee that at £200 plus VAT a month. If you want the advisory service with that as well, so that gives you exactly the same information, but we do quarterly management reporting, dividend review, business tax updates, and progress calls. We do that, you either have that monthly or quarterly, and that one comes in at £400 plus VAT per month. And we've got a really good deal on, so if anybody contacts me or contacts you and they come across to us, then what we'll do is have a 50% off a Xero premium license and 50% off Like My Books for a year, as well as doing all the setup for those two for free of charge. And that can be, you know, for even for a small business, that comes in at a saving of just under £600 over the course of the year. So, you know, hopefully that'll encourage people to come across to us if they're looking for a new accountant.
Yeah, and I think the even if you don't have so much money, I think the setting up the Xero and Link My Books thing is absolutely just huge. As we talked about that, I wouldn't even consider these days, now I know what I know, I wouldn't even consider setting up my own Amazon business or advising any client of mine to not do that. But I think that's the absolute minimum once you get. So to do that, plus get the statutory work done, even if it's for a limited period, even if you're short of cash to a degree, I just think it's the right kind of move. And obviously there are different accountants available out there. But again, getting somebody who really, really gets Amazon, again, is huge, because all you're going to end up doing, and so many people have come to me in this is one of the commonest questions I get asked by clients, is do you know an accountant who gets Amazon, because mine doesn't. So you've got to bear that in mind when you're costing this up, folks, as well. So just wanted to mention that. And yeah, we got, if you want to check out amazingfba.com/mint, we'll put some information up there as well about the deals that are on offer. I mean, again, 50% off the premium license for Xero. I guess most people are going to need that, aren't they? Because the international transactions component, again, you can't get away with the cheapest level of any accounting package, because this is quite a complex business model. Yeah. And then Link My Books as well. That's going to be substantial savings. So that might even offset your costs quite well. It's been very, very helpful to talk this through, very sort of grounding talking to an accountant. And I think it's one of those things where I realize more and more that I used to teach, and still subconsciously probably do, tend to treat accounting and bookkeeping as one of those annoying jobs I want to just get out of the way, as opposed to respecting the fact that the reason we do it in the first place is management accounting, as opposed to for tax reasons, is to give ourselves clarity of what the heck is going on in our business. Because in the end, we're in business to make profit and maybe to create a sellable asset to sell, and maybe to create personal income in the meantime. But for all of those things, they're about the numbers. So I guess I'm saying to myself, as much as anybody else, that we need to just take this stuff seriously enough, and then the rewards will be huge, I think. And I'm really grateful for you helping with this, this very important process of education. If you had to give us one or two or maybe three quick takeaways for specifically Amazon sellers around their accounting, what would you have to say?
So, from the beginning, set it up properly. Get it so that, you know, you have a really clean way of processing and as simple as you possibly can. Then understand what your balance sheet, excuse me, and your profit and loss account is actually telling you. Take the time, talk to your accountant, read up on it, understand the information you're getting from them. And then become a data geek and start looking at the information, looking at the trends, monitoring it on a month-by-month basis. understand what works for you, whether it's graphs, whether it's looking at the whole page of numbers, you know, understand what it is that works best so that you get a proper understanding of your business. And you can then make decisions on your business to improve your business as quickly as you can. There's no point in waiting for an accountant to produce your year-end accounts and then start to get interested in the numbers at that point. You know, you're 6 months after your year-end, it's far too late. If you're only getting your financial information at that point, you are miles behind what other companies and what other businesses are doing. You need to be on this at least on a month-by-month basis. And you know that I love a bit of daily bookkeeping. So, you know, get it done daily and review it at the end of every month with your accountant.
That's great. I like that advice. Get it done daily and then review monthly. That's an excellent rule of thumb. I'm going to take that one away. I feel slightly ashamed of my accounting now, but that's probably not uncommon amongst the entrepreneurs. I've literally been in Amazon meetings where people have had a nosebleed because they've been up since 4 a.m. trying to make their accounts work. So I'm not alone, but that's why we have people like you to help rescue us. So Alison, thank you so much for your, you know, common sense wisdom and some, I think, possibly business rescuing advice. It can be that powerful. A good accountant can save your business time and time again. So folks, go talk to your accountants. If in doubt, go talk to Alison. We ought to just quickly let people know how you can got hold of Alison. Can you just remind us of how to do that?
Yeah, you can email me directly on alison@mintaccounting.co.uk.
That's with two L's, by the way.
Get minted@mintaccounting.co.uk, and that will come into our general email address.
Great. Alison, thank you so much. Really enjoyed our chat.
No problem. Thanks, Michael. Lovely to speak to you.
Thanks so much for listening to the 10K Collective podcast, part of the family of amazing FBA podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-Commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by yours truly and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Unami's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you're the owner of a thriving online business and you want to become the best e-commerce leader you can be, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many topics, go to www.theecommerceleader.com.